Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Year. So they're not coming out of left field, either one of those teams. They were both in the playoffs last year.
I don't know. I did not think the Colts would be good, and so I would give it to Steichen.
I have to give credit where credit is due. I thought Tomlin was manning a ship that was headed to his first losing season ever.
Still have a very tough schedule.
Okay. That's why I'm saying, based on what's gone down so far this year, I would say he's right at the top of my list.
I'm surprised you're giving him this kind of pub when you can make a case that their one loss is because of an egregiously poorly coached situation.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I agree with that. But also, you, as someone that didn't want to give them credit for the New England win, you got to give them more credit for it now. That team just went to Buffalo and won.
Yeah, relative to, like, I have to tweak my expectations based on what continues to happen. That win absolutely looks better, a lot better, because of what happened last night. Yeah, there's no doubt. Like, it still frustrates me that they'll go into that shell a little bit offensively in situations like that. But if you know what's going to strike you as maybe not that surprising? Him being willing to say, hand up, it's my defense, it's us, we have to be better. What's that stupid Taylor Swift lyric? I'm the problem, it's me.
Is it the one about Travis Kelce's wiener?
No, you've mentioned that a bunch today, on and off the air now.
This is the second time I've mentioned it. I would not say that that's a bunch. If you bring up something twice in one day, if you mention something a bunch, does that cross the Rubicon?
I don't know, Donnie. It seems like he's got that song on the brain here for whatever reason.
He tried to shoehorn that in, too.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I think we all knew that wasn't the song, and he said, oh, is that the one about Travis's wiener?
Two times today, people not named me have brought up Taylor Swift, Austin off the air, and now you. And so both times, I will put my hand in the air and admit I've taken those opportunities to bring up the fact that, yes, she has written a song and performed a song about Travis Kelce's Johnson. I do find that to be interesting, okay? She's supposed to be this wholesome, everybody buys her record and listens to her songs artist.
I don't know. I think
and she has a song on her new album that's about a guy's dong. I mean, let's just call it what it is.
I mean,
the song's called Wood.
Is she still wholesome Taylor Swift, or has she moved beyond that a little bit?
She's moved way beyond that. If she's writing songs about people's penises, yes.
If her fan base is aging now and it's more like
I don't think
14
it has
or 15-year-old girls
I think
versus 7 or 8-year-old girls,
I don't think
for example.
I disagree. I think she's like the NFL. I think the NFL believes that everybody is in their target demo and audience, and I think Travis, I think Taylor Swift looks at it the same way.
So she thinks that a broad, that with the entire world as her target audience, that what they want
brain,
is a song about her fiance's.
If you have a pulse in a brain
crank,
and you're alive, she thinks that you should be buying her albums. Yes, absolutely.
And hearing about Travis Kelce's job,
I guess,
apparently.
Yeah.
What if the song was just about wood carving or something like that? Carpentry.
If she was dating or engaged to Zach Frazier, it might have been. He's big into that. Why did we even start talking about this?
Because I said the one thing that Mike Tomlin has done that I am encouraged by is actually take the blame and say, no, it's not the other guys. Like, we are screwing up. This is my side of the ball. I am screwing up, because you're right to say that he rarely gives people in these press settings the pound of flesh that they are looking for.
Yep.
And I am hoping that openness about, we've got to be better, I've got to be better, this is our stuff, it's not people beating us, it is us beating ourselves out there, is a precursor to a little more accountability in general about, and like a little bit more introspection on his part in general about how he goes about coaching certain parts of the game.
Donnie, do you think he's doing a good job? Is Tomlin in coach of the year conversation for you?
I guess we could say he's in the conversation. I think both guys in the AFC South, regardless of if we thought those teams would be good, like just because the three of us or you thought Indy and Jacksonville would both be pretty good, I would say that more people expected Indy to be bad.
Yep.
What so, about Kyle Shanahan Steichen, if we were extending this to the whole NFL too? They're 4-1. They've had
McCorkle. Well, I said AFC. He's about to put your boy on the bench, Malzi.
You guys are bringing an entirely new conference into this. I wanted to stick it
If you stick with the AFC, I would still say Indy and Jax are ahead of him for me. Steichen that, and Cone.
Okay, so there's 16 teams, and he's doing the third best coaching job in the conference.
I think he's doing the fourth best because Vrabel getting that win last night flips it for me. That is still a roster. Name like more than I know you can. I know Donnie, you probably can too. But like the casual fan, name two New England Patriots wide receivers who are not Stephon Diggs challenge, right? Booty, and I can't even think of another one right now.
I mean, Henry's basically their second best target.
Yeah, he's a receiver. He's Williams. A tight end. Okay.
I'm just saying here, though.
And I don't love Vrabel by any stretch, but he's done a pretty good job.
You
with
personally have come out after every Steelers win and found something to criticize, and you are even saying, yeah, among AFC coaches, he's doing the fourth best job. He's in the top quarter. He's in the top 25%. Like, I am not accustomed to being the person who, you know, praises Mike Tomlin, but I do think we have to call an ace here. He's doing a good job.
The best argument in favor of him is that the quarterback he lobbied to bring in was responsible for for their week one win and made the big throws when necessary to win another game.
I'm being consistent. I said before the season started, if Aaron Rodgers plays well, I have to give Mike Tomlin credit for it. If he doesn't, then I'm going to put the blame on him because that's the number one reason why Aaron Rodgers is here. And so what I didn't understand before the season was all of these people that were, you know, trying to talk up Aaron Rodgers and at the same time trying to crap on Mike Tomlin. You can't separate those two. They're conjoined twins, essentially, on the football field. You can't have one without the other. So, yes, like, I know that this is, like, me kind of taking off the mask here and, oh, my God, like, you've now jumped ship. I guess I have a little bit. Like, I'm admitting right now the bottom could fall out. But Mike Tomlin is doing a good job. And I think it's okay, even if you are an ardent detractor of his or someone who doesn't really like Mike Tomlin, to admit that so far this season, he's done a good job with this team.
Just a random question in this general vein. Does the fact that the Seahawks appear to be actually pretty good, I would say, in balance, they've lost to the Niners, who are 4-1, and they've beaten the Steelers, obviously, and then they lost to the Bucks, who are also 4-1 in a shootout in a very entertaining game. Does it make the fact that the Steelers sort of handed them that game with two very sloppy, non-heads-up plays, like, does it make it worse almost, or for Tomlin, or better? Like, hey, you lost to a pretty good team versus, so that's not so bad versus, wow, a horrible coaching and, like, mental blunder and also a bad route.
I don't look at that game as a Tomlin game.
Okay, so that's a cleaner way of asking.
I don't look at it like some jabroni team came in here and beat him.
Do you look at that as a Tomlin game? Knowing what the Seahawks became.
Seattle's good.
Yeah, I think Seattle's actually a pretty good team, and that game really turned on the Caleb Johnson.
Well, I know, but that's a coaching centric thing. And I said Johnson deserves the blame, but
they shouldn't have had him out there in the first
place. It's also an extremely boneheaded play by the player.
No, I get it. And I would put like 75% of it on the player, but the rest goes on the coaches. I will say the reason that game is going to stick in my craw, even though I think Seattle's pretty obviously good, just look at that Steelers schedule after these next two, and you feel like they needed every single win.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're going to get here.
Also to look around and look at some of the things that are trending in the game, how people are producing or presenting, preventing big plays, whether it's run or pass, the turnover game, gadget plays, etc., possession down play, fourth down appetites. We looked at a lot of things going on globally, and I think oftentimes you do that, but I think that's one of the advantages of maybe having an early buy just to get a sample size of how the ball is being rolled out globally in 2025.
Mike Tomlin and how he made use of his, or with his bye week, things they looked at, including teams' fourth down appetites.
Isn't like the stat on the books, him talking about an advantage of an early bye week, you get to take stock of the whole NFL and all that stuff and fourth down and whatever.
Yeah.
Hasn't it been studied that a team with a bye this early hasn't won a Super Bowl in a very long time?
I know the 1990 Giants did.
No, but it's...
They had a week five bye.
There's a strong correlation, I want to say, and I'm not going to just speak in exact numbers, between having a bye that I want to say is after week eight and winning the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers are the one that sticks in my brain with Brady who did it. They were languishing on the ropes, had like a week 13 bye, and then didn't lose.
Yeah.
But I want to say they've done studies, like the people who like to study this stuff, your stats types, and discovered that if you have a very early bye, it is very detrimental to your efforts to win a Super Bowl.
2005 Steelers bye came in week four, Chris.
Okay, so they're one exception.
How about that? I knew it was early. I didn't know it was that early. They played three games. That's it. And then they took a bye.
Give me the 2008 Steelers.
That was more towards the middle of the season.
It's basically middle back, broadly
that
speaking.
Was,
is there
actually
chance?
Still wasn't that
really
late. Week six. So one more. I thought it was later.
I would think they've got to be
so
two
both
of
those Steelers
the
teams had early
exceptions
buys.
To the rule.
2010 Steelers that made the playoffs or made the Super Bowl under Tomlin. Another early one, week five. So he likes it.
Maybe they buck the trend. I swear I've been reading about it and looked at that stuff, and it's usually like week eight or nine or on is a good place to have one.
93.7 The Fan wants to showcase a different football town every week with our Youth Football Showcase. Special visits from our guests, from our hosts, I should say, like Austin Bechtold, who might suit up and play if asked. Email youthsports at 93.7thefan.com with your group name, group main contact info, potential dates, and we'll be there. Details at 93.7thefan.com, brought to you by Steel City Shredding, Saloni's Italian Bread, Pelman Electric, and Keystone Custom Apparel. I mean, I said it. You know, I'm going to open up the phone lines here and give people a chance to give Mike Tomlin some credit. I called him my AFC Coach of the Year through 5 weeks, and I knew we wouldn't fill up the phone lines with that. If I had said, call up and rip Mike Tomlin, we'd have full phone lines right now. I mean, are we so dug in on our positions that we can't acknowledge when someone's doing a good job to this point? Aaron Rodgers is here because of Mike Tomlin, and other than Pro Football Focus, everybody thinks Aaron Rodgers is doing a good job this year. So I guess it is asking too much for Steelers fans for 5 minutes to say, you know what, Mike, a lot can change between now and the end of the year, but so far, so good. 412-928-9370. Here's Anthony in the car. Hello, Anthony.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Is Mike Tomlin doing a good job? Maybe, right? They needed a 60-yard field goal to beat a winless team. The Patriots put it on the ground five times, and they squeaked by that game. They almost cough it up to the Vikings.
And
but
the
more
Bills
importantly,
just
Tony,
the Bills just lost at home to the Patriots, and the Chiefs have a losing record.
No, I know, but the Bills are the Ravens without Josh Allen, right? I mean, you see what the Ravens are without Lamar Jackson. But my point is, you started the conversation about Tomlin saying he was your coach of the year because of what he's doing with what he has.
Yeah.
What does he have? He has the most expensive defense of all time.
Right. But he also has a 40-year-old quarterback.
A four-time MVP quarterback.
You would agree he's not that version of himself, or else he wouldn't have been available
exactly.
for like $13 million.
He went 5-12 last year,
with 26 touchdowns and 12 picks on a horrible team.
But the market dictates whether or not these guys are in demand, and he was not in demand by any stretch of the imagination. His previous team didn't want him. He flew across the country for the new head coach to tell him to his face they didn't want him, and then there was not a market that materialized for him. So Mike was going out reasonable limb here.
How many teams in the league don't have what they would consider to be, whether he's any good or not, don't have what they would consider to be their guy at quarterback?
How many teams don't have, quote, their guy?
I don't even know if that, like, teams that don't have franchise quarterbacks, is that what you're asking?
Well, I mean, is Drake May a franchise quarterback?
Yes.
Who knows? But they're going to.
What are you talking
about?
They're
going to go with him for a while.
He looks like one.
Drake May looked unbelievable last night.
And Mike Tomlin's team beat him.
Right, and he could easily turn out to be, 2 years from now, he might not be that guy. We know that. We've seen these flash-in-the-pan guys.
I just don't know what your overall point is. Your overall point is what? We don't know if he's doing a good job or not? They're in first place by themselves.
He's doing, find him. He's doing the job we would expect him to do. They're going to win 9 or 10 games.
Hold on a second. That's not true. They were picked to finish third place in the division behind the Ravens and Bengals by most people. They're in first right now. They're not doing what people expected them to do. They're doing much better. Their Vegas over-under win total was 8.5. They already have 3 and 4 games.
What is it now?
I think it's 9.
I think they're still not even the favorite to win the NFC North.
Well, they're not in the NFC North, but yes, the AFC North. You're right, they're not. The Ravens
Man, if
are
they
still.
Beat the Lions to win the NFC North, he would be the coach of the year easily if that happened. To his point about, I don't really even understand the point of how many teams don't have their guy at quarterback.
I mean, what kind of Mary Lou Retton gymnastics are people doing to just not come out and say he's doing a good job?
I mean, I think the strongest argument against him doing a good job is that part of like their standing in the division has to do with the two teams everyone thought would finish ahead of them.
Right.
Losing in Cincy's case for 3 months, and in Baltimore's case, probably two games, big quarterbacks.
And if they got to 3-1 by beating Cooper Rush and the Ravens and Jake Browning and the Bengals, I would agree with you. But they're 3-1 independent of those situations so far. They haven't been able to take advantage of those teams. They haven't played them yet.
I mean, the fact that they beat what I think now looks like a better Patriots team in the Patriots building, whether it was 5 fumbles or not, that's scouting.
And they forced those turnovers.
Well, they knew that Ramondre Stevenson, and they said as much after the game, was basically a guy who carried a ball like it was covered in olive oil, and they acted accordingly. And then I think beating the Vikings, who I don't think are a great team, but I think are one of those teams that's always difficult to play because of their defense, I think that goes in the positive category, even though I have very big misgivings about how Tomlin coached down the stretch there.
Here's Chris next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Hey, listen, Pony, I'm going to try to be gentle with this. So your claim is that Tomlin right now at 3-1
yes,
should be considered or is the number one choice. I didn't catch
that. He's Pony's number one choice for coach of the year.
He's mine.
In the AFC at the very least.
I would put Todd Bowles ahead of him overall, but yes, he would be second for me.
Okay, so AFC.
Yeah.
So you make the claim. Can you tell me why you say that? Prove your point. Besides 3-1.
Well, wait a minute. How can you say besides 3-1? Coaches win awards based on their records.
Well, if you look at statistically now, yep. and I am no New England Patriots fan. If you look statistically, Vrabel is doing far superior than Mike Tomlin.
He lost at home to Tomlin, and he also lost at home to the Raiders.
With
far superior.
Six, I mean. Well, let me back
he
up.
He lost at home to the Raiders, man.
No.
What do you mean, no? That happened this year.
That's a game that happened. The result is there
that
on the
happened.
Ledger.
They lost at home to the Raiders.
Two callers ago stated a fact. They by a 60-yard field goal, they lose to the Jets. By 5 picks and how many sacks, they lose
Since
to
when
New
do
England.
We stop giving teams credit for forcing fumbles? You want to if you would like to say they were lucky to recover all 5, maybe I could see that, but they forced 5 fumbles. That's good coaching. That's good execution.
New England beat Buffalo because they forced fumbles, and you're giving Vrabel's team credit for that?
You got to look at overall statistics.
We are. The most important overall statistic is how many wins do you have and how many losses do you
it's
have?
It's very hard for
That's
me.
That's my number one statistic.
It's hard bordering on impossible to get around the idea that a guy Mike Tomlin's team with an ancient quarterback went on the road and beat, regardless of how annoyed I am that the game slowed down so much for the majority, is doing a better job than Mike Tomlin when he's already suffered what might be, in Vrabel's case, a damaging home loss.
To a bad team that's only won one game and probably should bench its starting quarterback.
I might need to take a lap here.
I told you this was going to happen. I said, he's admitting mistakes. They're 3-1 and in first place, and it's still going to take moving heaven and earth, abstracting water from a rock to get people to say, thank you. To say he's doing a good job.
These people are thinking abstract thoughts, I can tell you that.
412-928-9370.
It's going to take one thing. It's going to take them stacking wins, but then when the meat of their schedule comes along, when it's probably Jackson and the Ravens.
I'm not even asking people about what's going to happen in the future.
The Bills, the Lions. It's going to take winning against teams that people feel are probably superior.
I'm asking people to grade and review Mike Tomlin on the work he's done so far this year. And people don't even like that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think Broderick is not a dummy. He realizes who he's competing against this week, and he's a competitor and a professional. And so I hadn't spent any time thinking about how I'm going to talk to or motivate Broderick this week.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with this juicy Week 6 matchup between the Browns and Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Donnie's Tomlin tidbit for Week 6. The one thing Donnie took from Mike Tomlin's 28-minute press conference today that aired right here on The Fan was his comment there on Broderick Jones and Broderick Jones not being a dummy.
Because he will have a massive test on Sunday. And I don't know if I would say that he is the key piece of the offense because they have shown that they can work around that even when he has not played well, but he is going up against perhaps the best pass rusher in the game, and a team that overall is able to get after it on the defensive side. So I do think if you're rating guys in terms of importance on the Steelers offense going into this game, he should be in the top three. Would it be fair to say that?
I think he's top one.
I mean, you think even more than Rodgers?
Yeah, I do. Because
I don't think Rodgers can do what they would hope he can do unless Jones holds up his end of the bargain. I'd say Jones and Darnell Washington might be the two most important. Also, here's an interesting tidbit about Jones. So he was starting at right tackle, you'll have to recall, last year, and Dan Moore was still holding down left tackle like the anchor that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Jones's grade when the Steelers beat the Browns in Week 14 was a 59. They did not think he had a very good game, especially in pass blocking.
We're still using PFF, huh?
Well, I'm just humoring me here. PFF's grade when the Steelers actually lost 24-19 in Cleveland, they thought he was pretty good. They actually felt like he held up his end of the bargain against the Browns in that game. They gave him, by their standards, an objectively good grade for everything in that game. That game, I will remind you, Myles Garrett had 3 sacks.
All in the first half.
Well, the Browns won the game, and I know famous Jameis was the, you know, playing in a snow globe there, had never seen snow, played in snow, who knows?
I don't think he ever played a game in the snow.
All right.
That's what he was so excited
about.
Myles
Garrett has played 8 games in Pittsburgh. For his career, he is 1-7 in those games, the only win being that
playoff game.
Browns playoff win. Give me a number of sacks from Myles Garrett, the so-called best defender in the NFL. Give me a number of sacks in those eight games that you guys would look at and say, if he has more than this number, Myles Garrett has done his job against the Steelers.
Done just his job?
Yes.
I mean, I would say if he has like a two sack or more game.
No, I'm saying like total.
Cumulatively.
So he's played in eight games.
Oh.
Give me like the total sacks for Myles Garrett that would make you say,
I mean, if he's,
all right, even though he's only won here once, he's done his part.
If he's
in those
got
eight games.
Sacks in eight games. I think a sack a game is a pretty
sack
reasonable
game, but I know the number's not that high.
How do you know that? You've already done your research on this?
Well, you probably wouldn't bring it up otherwise.
He's got me there.
Well, yeah, you always
what is it, like 3.5?
Actually, that's
questions.
Not true because I would still want to see how much of a game wrecker he's been against the Steelers in Pittsburgh with Broderick Jones lined up against
him. My guess is that he doesn't even average a half sack per game when they play here.
So what's your official number?
Like 3.5.
So you think he's had 3.5?
In eight games.
And Malzi said anything less than 8 would not be good enough. He has 4. He's got 4 in 8 games.
So a half sack per game.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah, he's wrecked games primarily against them in
Cleveland.
2 sacks in that 21-all tie. He's got a
three-sack
game at home. He's got another 2-sack game in the famous Dorian Thompson-Robinson game. Yes, he has destroyed game plans primarily in Cleveland, which honestly makes a little bit more sense just because it should be easier to play defense and get off the line of scrimmage quickly when you're in your home ballpark and the other team's got to deal with a louder crowd, which I will say at the very least, Cleveland crowds usually bring the goods. It's all that despair coming out.
Unless it's a baseball playoff game, in which case they can't even fill their own
Cleveland
ballpark.
Browns crowds.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
Well, they got their comeuppance for that, Pony. They got bounced.
Yeah, they did.
Ball don't lie.
All right, Broderick versus Myles Garrett, the game within a game. I don't really love that answer from Tomlin. I know I've been spending this last hour.
What should he have? What would have been an answer you liked? I've talked to this guy constantly. I've sat down, put my hands on his cheeks, facial cheeks, and said, Broderick, get it through your head. You have to block Myles Garrett.
I mean, he's got to be letting him know that this is basically the challenge of his life here.
I sat Broderick in a chair in the film room with his eyes glued open, Clockwork Orange style, and made him watch Myles Garrett highlights.
He doesn't know, like, I don't. Everything I've heard about Broderick Jones is he might actually need to be told what's at stake here and what's on the line.
The problem with Myles Garrett and Broderick Jones, although I still think he's the most important Steeler for this game, is we know, unlike TJ Watt, who just does not like to line up other places,
he will move.
He will move all over. And the Steelers' interior linemen, I don't think, have bathed themselves in glory either. They'll absolutely try to send him between guard and center. Also, one other little thing I was thinking about. Timothy Watt, speaking of pass rushers, he gets to go against a guy for whom he will be rushing from the blind side. A lefty, Don. You were bringing that up yesterday with Batco. Great football talk with Batco.
Yeah,
I heard it.
How many times has he been the primary?
Tua.
We should have done a real research project.
Once or twice?
And figured out how many sacks TJ Watt has when the opposing starter is a lefty. Now that would have been
how often has he seen
stuff.
Tua? Twice?
I think just the
Sunday night game.
Their defense did play very well in that game, and they should have won that game.
Is that a backhanded shot at Kenny Pickett?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, the Dolphins' offense was kind of cooking everybody, and the Steelers shut them down after one drive.
On air the next day, your reaction was, well, the defense should have scored a touchdown or something like that. They should have scored directly. I think that was
that
how you tried to defend
like
Ken.
TJ Watts played 9 games at home against Cleveland. How many sacks do you think he has in the 9 games?
13. I'm going to say like 13 or 14.
13-9 would be very funny.
10.5.
All right, so he's done his job more than Garrett. Well, no, at home they've both done their jobs really to the same degree. I think Garrett would have about that many, 10 or 11.
That was Donnie's Tomlin tidbit. People can't bring themselves to give Tomlin credit for the start the Steelers are off to. I said I would make him my AFC Coach of the Year through 5 games, and Steelers fans have been coming up with all kinds of convoluted, complicated reasons for why he's not done a good job so far this year. Here's Ethan in Pittsburgh with a thought on that. Hello, Ethan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was just calling to say I completely agree. I think Tomlin is so overhated in this city, and I think that as Pittsburgh fans, we should be spoiled and we should be looking for a little more. But I don't know at what point do you give him the credit. And as everybody in the city knows, our barely winning seasons doesn't help us. But at the same time, I mean, so if we get rid of him and we start looking at losing seasons, I just think that we're so locked in on saying that we want more that it's super risky, and people aren't taking into account that if we do get rid of him, all the bad seasons that could follow. And I think that this year is just a testament to that, that, I mean, he can make do with such little. And I mean, I was a Kenny Pickett guy for a little bit there and wanted to hold strong with Russell Wilson. But I mean, I don't know how many times you see him work with bad players and bad teams and make something out of it to the point where you just start respecting him and trusting that he will find a good team and make something come out.
Well, it is his fault that those guys were their quarterbacks.
I was going to say, he's got a blind spot there.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Pickett and Russell Wilson were here because of Mike. So
and then
he doesn't,
and especially in the case of Wilson, a guy who at least had a baseball card, Mike still couldn't bring himself to let Wilson open things up.
I'm not going to say now, hey, Mike Tomlin got these guys foisted upon him or forced on him, and man, he managed to win 10 games with them. Congratulations.
I mean,
on
if he was going to go somewhere else and have big success, I do think the safest spot would be a place where everyone agreed the quarterback was good, but they had something missing from a culture standpoint.
People, again, can't help themselves. My point was not trying to rewrite history and give Tomlin credit for what's happened in the last few years. It was merely a comment on what he's done with this year's team. And I think he's done really well with them. Not like, hey, now that Tomlin's off to a 3-1 start, let's act like the last 7 years here have been fantastic. I'm not going to do that. But that's apparently what Ethan wants to do.
Do you think the power of your years-long rhetoric against Tomlin is somewhat responsible that this is Frankenstein's monster coming back at the good doctor?
What was the monster's name? Because everyone says monster. That Frankenstein is Frankenstein. Like,
well,
Stella has a Frankenstein stuffed animal.
Frankenstein is the doctor.
But she
Frankenstein, calls... that stuffed animal is Frankenstein's monster.
But that's
know,
just
Bill?
A mouthful to say, hey. Like,
well, I think that's why they shortened it, and that's Frankenstein, because you can't say Frankenstein's monster. A little kid can learn to just go, Frankenstein.
But he's not Frankenstein, according to you.
No, he's not. The doctor is Frankenstein. I don't know, Bill, Rufus?
But don't you think, like, history, like in the last 50 years or whatever, everyone is just called the green guy with the bolts
they
in his
have,
head Frankenstein?
But he's getting the Frankenstein name should
Did
be
Did you
for
know
the
that, Donnie, that he's not actually Frankenstein? Oh, what are you going to dress up for as Halloween? Frankenstein. No, you're not, because that's
the
doctor.
So you're being a doctor. That's interesting.
I mean, I always did that, too. I always just went with Frankenstein like that was the actual monster.
No.
Even though I knew it was Dr. Frankenstein, but I still just say, oh, Frankenstein.
So Mary
Shelley, the guy.
Mary Shelley wrote the novel. She just does not give him a name in the novel. The creature,
yeah,
the monster, ogre, or wretch.
Yeah.
Wretch.
He is often mistakenly called Frankenstein. Yeah.
But everybody does it.
Some adaptations of the novel have given him the name Adam. So we start calling Crowley Frankenstein?
It's like an Adam and Eve thing?
I don't know.
Well, that would make kind of sense because Frankenstein's the creator and the first human's name was Adam, supposedly. So maybe they thought his first, like he played God essentially when he made Frankenstein's monster. And what happened with Frankenstein's monster? He threw that girl in the pool, and that was where the pond bleep kind of hit the fan. Isn't that what happened? He was playing with like a little girl, and he picked her up and threw her in the water, and she drowned. And that was when they came out with their pitchforks and torches.
Isn't the entire point that he tries to be a human being, like normal?
But then he failed at it.
He is shunned by, I think, aren't the villains here supposed to be the people who shun him?
No, I think it's a lot like Lenny and Mice and Men. He had good intentions, but he screwed up.
Shelley describes the monster as 8 feet tall and emotional. He should have hooped, man. Frankenstein should have hooped. He was tall as hell.
Well, he pretty much did, didn't they? Wasn't he a monster?
Well, later on, yeah, he found his calling. Can you imagine that guy posting people up? Wembanyama would have no chance.
Yeah, I mean, are we taking like late 90s, early 2000 Shaq or Frankenstein's monster?
I'm taking the monster. He's 8 feet tall.
They should recreate it now, and Frankenstein creates him because he wants the guy to get an NIL deal.
I mean, somebody could AI that up pretty easily.
I mean, doesn't Florida have a guy that's 7'9", that
yeah,
Olivier
Caleb's
Rue
gonna do
or whatever?
That. Caleb's going to be like... Frankenstein's monster. He's going to make it. It's going to be him in a basketball jersey calling for the ball.
It's going to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar shooting a skyhook with Frankenstein's face.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.